Dear Plugged In. You in on this? Toyota's versatile SUVs roll up their sleeves and take on tough jobs, dress up for a night out, or haul your family and friends with their spacious interiors. And they're available with some real sweet tech. Want a hybrid SUV? Oh yeah, they got those too. All with a slew of standard features so you won't break the bank. Get the juice at Toyota.com, folks.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All right, guys, Ball is sponsoring us right now across the DNVR network, as in the brand new Ball Arena, or as in the aerospace technology company. And, of course, they make every can you're drinking out of just about. They reached out to us because they need more people to help them make more cans. In 2020, they made 101 billion cans. 101 billion cans. With a B. And again, they are hiring right here in Golden. So you can check out hashtag work at Ball online. And to apply for a position at their aluminum can plant, text Golden to 77222 or go to jobs.ball.com and search for Golden. That's jobs.ball.com, search for Golden. Or simply text Golden to 77222. Let's jump into the show.
The one and only DNVR. Two goes out to Zach Mays, RK,
and the bar.
Three for Mr. B in that old trophy case. None four we're still waiting for. Well, bring on the chase. Out on the field, mile high, Broncos win is our desire. Coupled with Breck, brew and a friend, bleed orange and blue to the bitter end. Come and join us, DDNVR. We are DNVR.
Happy Friday and welcome into another edition of Three Ring Circus. Potentially the last episode of season one of Three Ring Circus. We'll see what happens, but I just want to prepare people, let them down easy. This could be the last episode, and so I guess we're going out with a bang here. We're bringing on kind of Henry, but no one really cares about that. And our guy Big Drive Spence from DNVR Golf. What up, Spence?
What up, dude? How are you guys? Thanks for having me on today. Appreciate that.
We are doing fantastic. Spencer woke me up with the best text I've ever woken up to today. It wasn't like sweet, sweet nothings. It was just, what did it say? Let me get it perfect. It said, your new leader. And it was a picture of Colin Morikawa. Because I, of course, slept through his entire round. And I wake up, he shot 64, and that's my guy.
Amazing round from him. Incredible stuff. Just vaulting all the way up the leaderboard from essentially middle of the pack as after yesterday. So.
Yep. Who are you riding on this week?
I have Will Zalatoris, who is now withdrawn with a back injury. Tommy Fleetwood, who missed like two putts inside of 2 feet today, so that's fun. And Ricky Fowler, who's kind of just middle of the road Ricky, who he's been his whole career essentially.
Henry, did you get on anyone?
I didn't make any bets. I knew
you've
that
been, like hitting on golf majors.
I know, but yeah. I knew I wasn't gonna be able to watch the first couple rounds because they're all in the middle of the night. And so I was like, okay, if you're not going to watch, hold off, make some smart bets, pay attention, like wake up early Saturday, okay. Figure things out all from right. There. So that's my plan.
Mace, did you have a pre-tournament pick?
No, I mean, I guess the obvious one would have been John Rahm.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm not following it day to day enough to have more than that kind of 35,000 foot take on it.
Me and Spence, the only ones grinding the tournament. Although this is like the only time that you get to have something nice to watch on TV when you go to work at 5 a.m.
Yeah, it was great. Yesterday, no one was in the pro shop. I woke up, got to work and turned on the TV and just sat there in silence. It was beautiful.
Beautiful thing. Beautiful thing. All right. We are going to get into a game here in a second. But first, I want to tell you about our friends over at MSU Denver. MSUDenver.edu/online. They are the presenting sponsors of the show. They are great. And like I always say, if you're looking to maintain a full-time job and further your education, there's no better place than MSU Denver. MSU Denver students work twice as many hours as students attending any other Colorado institution. So go get that degree while keeping a job. Get that money at the same time. MSUDenver.edu/online. All right. So I want to start with this, and this is the headline of the show, so I hope you guys have some good answers here. Henry, I'll start with you. What is your dream Denver Broncos foursome on the golf course?
Oh, wow. So, like, am I one of them? So
you're pick the three? Fourth.
Okay, okay. Yes. Currently on the team or all time?
Anytime, all time.
Wow, that makes it really hard. There's so many different ways you could go. Like I feel like it'd be really easy to say, like, well, Peyton.
Yes.
Elway.
Yes.
Like, Terrell Davis, another one of just, like, the big stars.
Terrell Davis has way too big of shoulders to be good at golf.
That means I win the money, right? I assume those guys are playing for money. But I guess in terms of, like, personalities, I don't know.
Shannon Sharp?
Exactly. Like, yeah. He came to mind. He'd be a fun one. He'd probably be, like, yelling in your backswing and stuff, though.
Vaughn? He's big Vaughn, on, he's big on the right golf grind right now.
Vaughn is absolutely in the group. He's the mix of all that. And Shannon Sharp's also in the group. And the
you
final
need someone
one
kind of low key to balance that out. And that's you know what? Okay. And that's and so someone who's kind of the glue of the group. And I have played golf with Steve Atwater.
Ooh.
And I don't think I could go on the show if I didn't say Steve Atwater's in my dream golf foursome.
That's fair.
Yep. Had very good times playing golf with Steve.
That's a good one. He's another one who's a blend of being like all pro, Hall of Fame now type of player.
He'll talk a little crap, but he'll do it kind of in that nice way.
Lovingly.
Exactly. The smile and assassin way.
Yes. Huh. What about you, Spence?
So a couple that I would go with, I actually was supposed to play in a group with John Elway once at a pro-am, and it got snowed out.
Oh my God.
I was
God.
So sad. I just signed up for it. It's like a PGA pro from Colorado and an AM. And I signed up for it, and then they sent the pairings out, and it was like the pro from Cherry Hills, and it said Jay Elway, and I was like, no. I was like, this cannot be happening.
It's gonna be Jay.
I was like, this is gonna be the greatest day of my life. And then it got snowed out because it was like October. I was so bummed. It's probably like 5 or 6 years ago, and I even called my AM, and I was like, yeah, we're playing with John Elway. He's like, no, we're not. And I'm like, yeah, it's on the tee sheet. And it got snowed out.
Wait, you said it was October?
Yeah.
What's he doing playing a pro-am during the season?
Well, it was May. It was early in the year. So it was like April, May. One of the first events of the year, probably 2017 or 18.
Yeah, when you said that October, I'm like, yeah, he's the GM of an NFL team. What's he doing playing a pro-am?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Let's not act like he doesn't play golf during the season.
I mean, it's kind of working in that quick nine during the season. Now, this year, on the other hand,
who knows?
All bets are off.
I bet you he was averaging over 72 holes a week during his entire tenure.
Over under on 72 and a half. That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
He's a good player. But one guy I would definitely include in my foursome that I don't know if he gets really known as a Bronco, but like John Lynch. I think John Lynch would be great to play golf with. Just and pick his mind now building the 49ers the way he has. I think that'd be a cool guy to talk to and not only play golf with. Like, I'm very picky about the people I play golf with. They don't have to be good.
That makes me feel good.
They don't have to be bad. Like, they don't have to be anything. Like, some people are like, oh, I only play with good players, or oh, I don't want to play with anyone that's way better than me, etc. I just like to play golf with people that I like, and then past that, I don't care how good or bad they are. It doesn't affect my game.
All I care about is how do you act when things go wrong?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to risk, like, oh, God, they're in the water off the first tee, and now I've got 18 holes of misery next to this person in the cart, you know? Like, like, I don't care if you're terrible as long as you have a smile on the whole day. I don't care if you're the best player if you are suck to be around when you don't play well. It's all about just how you act when things go awry.
It's all about the vibes you give off.
And, like, you can, like, I feel like you have like 12 steps between when you hit your shot and when you get back to the cart to like shake it off. You know, you're like mad that you hit your shot. That's fine. Then you get back in the cart. It's like time to turn it around.
Yeah. You can have a bad day, but don't ruin everybody else in your group's day.
So that leads into why I wouldn't have John Elway in my dream foursome. There's just no way he's cool when he's not playing well.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
He's way too competitive. So I think like Peyton absolutely is just would just be number one, like number one overall pick if we were drafting this. And then you mentioned having someone low key in the group. Mm-hmm. We get all time here. I'd love to have Pat Bowlen in my group.
Ooh,
I think he would be incredible. And then the last one is tough. Like I like the Steve pick. I think Shannon Sharp would definitely be a good time. Although he's kind of like rubbed me the wrong way over the last couple years.
He's a radio guy.
You got to get him away from Skip Bayless.
Yeah,
I think exactly Skip is a bad influence on him.
I think so too. And then I also think like Mike Shanahan would be a great person to have in there. Although another one who might not be fun if he's not playing well.
Yeah, and the thing with Mike is you want to get him to open up and tell stories, but he's so kind of tight-lipped about now he's doing the QB Collective stuff and he won't kind of reveal the secrets, and he said that he's not going to write a biography. He's not going to do the Bill Walsh thing of basically putting out the template of how he went about his coaching life and his techniques and all that, because he doesn't want to tip people off. The only thing that he's done is he wrote a kind of a business self-help book with Adam Schefter back in the day. So I'm not sure he would see, if you're out there for 4 hours with somebody and you want some stories, right? You want to talk.
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure that Mike would be as forthcoming with some of the stories as others might be.
You know who
Kyle Shanahan
probably knows? Oh yeah,
I Kyle think Shanahan would though.
You know
I'd
who
play with Kyle
knows most of the same stories as Mike Shanahan, who would probably be a little more open and a little more of a good time. Mm-hmm. Gary Kubiak.
True. That's a good point.
I think another great one would be a current player. Definitely is Brandon McManus.
Oh,
because he's a good stick.
Yeah, he's a stick,
he is. Like, he seems like a good time. Mm-hmm. I actually have, hopefully, something in the works for that to actually happen.
Ooh. Yeah.
Coming up soon.
So Spence, you said you only like to play golf with people you like. You also happen to make the pairings at the DNVR Golf League every week. And Eric here in the comments says, I can't help but notice I keep not getting paired with you in the golf league.
Okay. Well, let me clarify something here real quick. So, last week, Eric, we were paired together until Adam came along and decided he wanted to play. And like Adam, I'm like scared to pair him with anyone else other than Eric is Adam's like wubby.
His like caddy. So, like,
if Adam's playing, Eric has to be with him. That's just kind of how I pair it. So Eric, we were together last week until Adam came in last minute. But if you noticed, a couple weeks ago we played together, had a great time. So sorry about that, Eric. I really do like it.
Please put Adam's Wubby in your Twitter bio, Eric. That's your new title. Put
Adam's Golf Wubby. Yes.
Do you think that about me and Henry too? Because we're always paired together.
I generally like to have like two DNVR people and then two members or two, you know, community people. So
fair.
And then that I try sense. To play with. I've played with every single DNVR golf member.
Oh, nice.
So I like move myself around.
Just keep dodging Eric. He sucks to play with.
That is true.
No, I actually played with Eric last Sunday. It was a good time. All right. We're staying on the golf theme a little bit here. Obviously, we have Big Drive Spence and the Open Championship. I'm going to call it what they want me to call it. Like, the only way I would fight this is if the U.S. Open, they wanted to be called the Open Championship. Then I would just take the side of the U.S. But you know what? If that's what they want to call it, I'm cool with calling it.
Britain and Scotland in particular, although it's not in Scotland this week, they get dibs on this.
Right.
Since
they did
the game started there.
The game.
Yeah.
That is true.
I think Henry's on the other side.
I mean, I just really hate it. I mean, I'm not sure that I can say like it's wrong, but I can say that I really hate having to call it the Open. I mean, we were talking about before this, like you have to download the Open app. Like, how dumb does that sound to say? Like, it just,
and there's no like
the British Open.
You open, like, you open the Open app. I mean, y'all in the colonies have to come up with these complaints.
But like, there's no way to shorten it. Like before, you just say the British, and like the Open. It just. If you said that to like someone who doesn't follow golf, exactly. They wouldn't know what you were talking
about.
That's
the thing is like golf is like super exclusive, and I feel like a lot of people get like they kind of get off on the fact that like the Open, and then casuals are like, which Open? Like, is US Open British Open? It's like, you don't know that. Like, and there's some Australian of those vibes that play Open. That makes it feel like...
Wimbledon is the championships. It's a peculiar British thing. Mm-hmm. The championships.
Did they start Open. Tennis, too?
I don't know who started tennis. I have to look that one up.
And that's the bigger one to me. Is it, like, we just got to call it, like, the US Golf Open. The not British, just the Golf Open, I guess, for the British one.
The Golf Open.
But yeah. Like, I hate how there's, like, a U.S. Open tennis, U.S. Open, it just gets confusing, and I think clarity should be what we're focused on here.
You also seemed a little bothered by the fact that the winner gets named the champion golfer of the year.
I mean, like, sure, they started the game, like, maybe, because, like, 300 years ago that happened, 500 years ago, more than that, probably.
Who
like,
knows?
They get to decide who the champion is, but, like, the Masters, I think, is a really cool tournament, too. Like, why can't that be the one that decides who the champion of golf is?
Cooler name, too.
Yeah, a little bit.
Also, but we get that one because there's also the British Masters. But we just get to call ours the Masters.
But it doesn't compare, though. Like, I feel like that's one where there's a very clear
difference. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Masters is the best tournament in golf.
I agree.
The British Masters, I couldn't even tell you anything about it.
Fair enough.
Maybe that's just me being a dumb American.
I don't even know if it still exists, but I know it did it at one point.
Yeah, they have. I think they have like 4 or 5 different Masters.
Yeah,
and Opens. There's millions of.
I mean, in theory, couldn't you do Masters in every country? By the way, the British Masters was ended after 2008.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Fair enough. I mean, couldn't you do like the...
Our Masters was so good, it put theirs in the ground.
Yeah. The Armenian Masters, the, you know, the Iranian Masters, the Zimbabwean Masters. Yeah.
Is there like a French Open of golf?
Probably not.
Maybe there is, but just nobody wants to play in it because it doesn't really matter.
Actually, the funny thing is, like, if you're talking about... The French Open rewards a very specific style of play that is different than the other surfaces. So which of the majors would you say rewards a different style of play than the others?
The one we're in right now.
Yeah, it would be the Lynx course, right? Yeah. It would be the Open.
By the way, fun to watch on TV, but like the idea of just like it being windy all the time. Yeah. Not cool to me.
Not for me.
Yeah.
I hate playing golf in the wind.
So well, so does it bother you guys then that like when you have events over here that try to like replicate Lynx golf? Like you just had the PGA at the Ocean course. It's a Lynx course. They're trying to do the same thing as they do in Britain, but with palmettos on the course.
But that's just the same, you know, like that's how golf started. So like that's a style of golf course that's going to continue to be built.
I do think though, like the US Open has its lane. You know, it's like the thick rough and like tight and all that kind of stuff. And so trying to pull in all the Open stuff into it what I like.
What's all the PGA's let's lane? Just like whatever then? It's like whatever we want to do on a giving year.
Yeah, it's just like
I think
golf.
So.
Yeah.
Just golf. All right, let's steer this back a little bit from going full golf podcast. We are going to still have a little bit of golf slant here, but we're going to play a game called Either Or, guys. Either For.
Nice, Kale.
That was good.
So Either For, you're going to get a couple options here, and I want you to pick one side. So let's go to the first one here. Spence, we'll start with you. You are either in this foursome, and you're playing, you ride in the cart with the last person, all right? So you're either with Pat Bowlen and Brittany Bowlen in a cart, and you share a cart with Johnny Bowlen, or you're in a cart, or you're playing with Mike Shanahan and Gary Kubiak, but you're in a cart with Josh McDaniels.
Oh, this is tough because I feel like riding with the bottom person in either of those, I could just look at him and be like, what the are you thinking? Just in general. Football, life, whatever. I'd have to say I think the bowling one would just be fun.
Yeah,
I think
it'd
just
exactly.
Be a riot. Like, you never know what you're going to get for 4.5 hours straight.
Yeah,
so
that's the one I'm picking as well.
Me too.
It's easy. And the thing is, sorry, Hank. Go ahead and finish. Go ahead.
Okay. Like my thing is like the Bolins. I Pat Bowlen the best, but then also Mike Shanahan, Gary Kubiak, and then Brittany's kind of the ranking. I think I kind of like the coaches better. But what wins it over for me is that like if I have to spend 4 hours with one of those bottom two, I can at least appreciate Johnny Bowlen for what he is. Whereas Josh McDaniels, I'm just so frustrated with what he did to the Broncos that I don't think I can enjoy that in the way where I'm just like, yeah, Johnny, go off. Let me listen for 4 hours and I'll move on.
See, you've got three coaches in one, and you've got three family members in another. Mm-hmm. And I think with the family members, if you're the foursome, you're just sitting there watching, and you are, even though there's four of you, you're the third wheel basically at that point. You are, you know, they're talking about family experiences, vacations, all the things they've done together, and it's like,
but you're probably playing in like Hawaii.
It is probably Hawaii.
Why wouldn't it be Hawaii with the coaches?
The coaches, I don't know. It could be Hawaii.
I mean, it could be a beautiful course in California.
Cabo. I mean, feel like Mike Shanahan likes Cabo.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, maybe because Mike Shanahan spends a lot of time in the Bay Area now, because his son is coaching the Niners. Maybe you're playing Spyglass Hill or something like that. Maybe, and so I'd take that. But the other thing is, because you don't have the family dynamic, and because Josh McDaniels could kind of be the third wheel, I think you would actually end up talking with Josh McDaniels a lot.
I knew you were going to pick this one because, like,
yeah,
Josh McDaniels, still an interesting brain to pick.
He is. Yeah. Like, I think Mike and Coobs would kind of be doing their own, having their own conversation. I think what would happen is that Josh would probably latch on to you.
Smart.
And next thing you know, you, like you say, you'd pick his brain. You'd learn a few things. Maybe you'd kind of dive into and figure out what went wrong, what he'd do differently. I mean, I think that would actually be the more illuminating experience.
It was the Alphonso Smith trade. That's what went wrong.
That's what went wrong.
That was it.
Well, there
also
were
the Jay Cutler stuff.
There were two trades made like that in that year's draft, and it was the year before an uncapped, unfloored year, and everybody, and there was a lot of concern about budgets and all that. So that trade, saying, oh, we're going to trade a future one for a two this year. Denver did it. Carolina did it. And they kind of did it for the same reasons. There were some kind of long-term financial concerns involved with not knowing what the future CBA was going to look like.
Yep. I already said Pat Bowlen's in my dream foursome, so that kind of swings it for me. Also, like, I'm probably, like, shotgunning beers with Johnny in between holes. Yep. All right, let's go on to the next one.
Maybe Josh, too.
All right, you are with John Elway, Terrell Davis, and Eddie Kennison, noted traitor.
Quitterson.
Or you're with Peyton Manning, Von Miller, and Raheem Moore.
Another one where you're like, what the are you thinking? But, I think I'd take the one with Von, Peyton, and Raheem, because I feel like, dude, I don't know. I feel like he semi has owned it, and these things happen to every fan base. It hurts. They still didn't score two times in overtime. Like, there's so many things could have went right. Like, maybe I could ask Peyton what he was doing in overtime instead of asking, you know, it kind of a joke, but that still hurts to this day. But I think it'd be fun to just kind of, I thought Raheem Moore was going to be great. It was him. Who was the other safety that came out in the same draft?
Quentin Carter.
Yeah.
And he got hurt on that damned Sports Dome field. They had to go. They didn't have the indoor facility at the time. They didn't have the field house. So they had to go practice on this field that's used by lacrosse, indoor soccer. The turf is worn down, and he shreds his knee in coverage one day that they get forced inside for a practice, and he's never the same after that. But Quentin Carter, that dude was a dog.
I thought he was going to be really good. I thought that safety tandem was going to be in Denver for a long time.
Yeah. Yep.
I would go with that one as well. I would want Raheem to feel like forgiven. I feel like it's time to to let that go. It's not something he did on purpose. And that's the number one thing, tiebreaker for me here, is like Eddie Kennison like ditched the Broncos on purpose.
And TD was on that team. There's probably some tension between TD and Eddie Kennison being on that 0-1 team. The fan vitriol for Raheem Moore is something that does not exist with his teammates.
Right.
Like, Vaughn and Peyton don't blame Raheem Moore for not having that ring on their finger. No. Because they're all like, what could I have done?
Right. You had a million chances to slow them down to never get to that point.
Yeah, the Raheem Moore anger, that's a fan thing. That's not a teammate and coach thing.
Yeah, and I don't have beef with Raheem Moore. Ryan said, like, he didn't try to do anything wrong. He made a mistake. Mistakes happen.
Mm-hmm. That actually resurfaced on Twitter yesterday with Raheem Moore.
Yeah,
Chris Harris said something, and then somebody, I forget who else, commented. Somebody from the team was like, I don't know why he's backpedaling or doing this or that. I didn't read it.
He made a mistake. Every player in the history of the game has made a mistake like that.
Very ill-timed mistake, but yes, it happens. So we're all on the same board?
Absolutely.
On the same page
absolutely.
Worst mistake in Broncos history?
Probably, yes.
Wow. On-field mistake? yeah, I mean, if the Broncos didn't have three Super Bowls and didn't win 3 years later, Raheem Moore would be this franchise's Bill Buckner.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's fair.
Let me spin zone this real quick. How about you get in the Kennison foursome, and he turns into the third wheel, and then you just get to hang out with Elway and TD because they don't like him.
You get a fourth cart.
COVID cart rules.
Yeah, what? Just tell you have a medical condition, right? That's what people do at the course when they want their own carts. Yeah.
I could do a whole podcast on that.
Wait, seriously?
Oh, they still do it. Yeah. No mask. Like, no mask in the pro shop, though. They don't wear a mask in the pro shop, but then they want their own cart.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Thanks. I might have to try that sometime. I didn't know you could do that. Although, that being said, part of it, like if you're golfing on vacation and you're paired up with somebody you don't know, part of it is you might get paired with somebody really interesting.
Yeah.
Like at Kiowa Island once, I got paired with an 84-year-old guy who'd like run a chain of laundromats, and we just basically told me his entire life story, and it was actually really fascinating.
Wow.
For 18 holes.
Not the direction I thought that was going to go.
No.
But still sounds very interesting.
Everyone's got a story, right?
Yeah. Andrew Mason, fascinated by laundromats.
My first thought was like Navy SEAL.
No.
No.
Everyone's got an interesting story if you dig deep.
Mm-hmm. I've always thought of that. Like, you could do a whole podcast just talking to anyone.
Yeah.
And, like, it would be interesting.
If they're willing to open up. You get them that person open up, then you never know where it's going to go.
This is a little bit different, but I had, like, an investigative reporting professor who was, like, really, really good and had done some cool things. And he said basically the same thing, except it was everybody has a secret, and it's my job to figure it out. Ooh. Which is just a little bit, like, darker.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, what does this person not want me to know? And I'm going to start using that more.
That's good.
Yeah, like peel the onion, you know? Every layer. Yeah. You
there is something you do not want anybody to find out about you. What is that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone has that.
Yeah.
That's where we're going to stop there.
All right, let's go on to the next one here, Kale.
Okay. So these are situations that you have to choose between.
Yes, it's still either four. So either the Broncos don't make the playoffs for 10 more years, or you never make better than par on a hole again. So one of these things is happening. Whatever one you pick, whatever one you don't pick, is the other thing is happening.
Oh, ooh, I can't go 10 years without covering another playoff game. I'm sorry. It's the playoffs easy. That affects me more.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to agree. I'll take 18 straight pars. I'll be happy with that. You know, like,
I knew you were going to use that.
I mean, birdies are fun, but, you know, then I just make bogey on the next hole, and it's like I made two pars. So it's...
You're going to be David Sims then.
Yeah. I cannot go without another 10 years. I can't even go another three, really. I'm getting worn down.
I think I'm going to go the other way here. I think, like, if I knew it was coming, I could, like, the Nuggets are in good shape. The Avs are in good shape.
You could buy 10 years here.
I could, exactly. Like, and I could, then I have golf for what? I'm 24, ideally at least like 50 more years.
Yep.
I want to blow all of that based on that. The thing that does make me feel a bit guilty, though, is that the Broncos thing does impact a lot more people than just me. And so I would feel bad about that.
What's the state of this fan base if they miss the playoffs for another 10 years after already having missed it for five? And what does the Broncos reputation become?
Yeah.
If the fans have apathy, and then nationally,
that's 15 straight
they become
years.
I mean, the Bucks, at the worst the Bucks did, they missed it for 14 years in a row. The Bengals missed for 14 years in a row. If you hit 50, and the Raiders missed it for, I think it was, 13. Congratulations. If you do that, you have a 15-year run that is worse than the teams that were these generate embarrassments.
Yeah. Yep. I didn't even
think
of that.
You will have outdone. That's the thing, and that's what we'd be saying. Like, oh my God, they're worse than the Bengals at their worst. They're worse than Tampa Bay at its worst.
And more than that, like, can you even recover from that? It's like, well, they did eventually, like, not the Bengals
Tampa Bay
so
did.
Much, but
Bengals haven't really. Yeah, exactly.
It is true. You go through 10 years, that might just mean you're a bottom
Tampa Bay
going
guy.
Forward.
Tampa Bay got a new owner. And that's what the biggest thing in the recovery. More talent, but they also had somebody new steering the ship. And of course, the other thing is also, if they have 10 years without the playoffs, most of those are going to be with a new owner, whether it's Brittany Bowen or somebody else, and it's just going to be damn toxic around here. People are going to be yelling, sell, sell, sell.
Also,
it's going to be like the Washington with Dan Snyder.
Yeah. The other thing the Bucks did was sign Tom Brady, and I don't think that should be understated.
Well, that's the recent run because they missed 08 to 12 years. Tampa, oh, think about that.
Before that.
Tampa Bay had two runs of a dozen years or more missing the playoffs. And this is why I am completely unapologetic for the Tampa Bay market and what they're enjoying right now. Because that town, sports-wise, when their teams have been bad, they have been bottom of the barrel, generationally incompetent. The Rays lost 90 games for 10 straight years. The Lightning had they had three owners, including the Japanese Mafia, in their first 10 years. And just, you could write a book on all the things that they did wrong.
30 for 30 on that.
Yeah. Every franchise down there has been the saddest of sad sacks. So what that town is enjoying, that region is enjoying today, they've earned it. They've paid their dues.
Gosh. I don't want to do it to the people. But if I choose the other one, I feel like I would have to give up golf. Like,
yeah.
Like the dream is to break even, you know, like,
yep.
You gotta break par, like, that's why you like grind, that's why you play. I've done it once in my life, and that's all I'm ever chasing after that. It's like, can I do it again? Now, maybe not, because I just love being out there with my friends, but it would just be such a terrible feeling knowing, like, that there's just a cap on how good you can ever be.
Yeah.
That being said, I can't do that to the city. But I have survived. Like, I survived this with the Buffs, 15 years of incompetence.
So far.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, really, there's like a couple little blips in the middle there, but it's been like 20. Actually.
Yeah, it has.
20 years of like subpar play.
At best.
So, I could definitely make it through the Broncos for my own personal benefit, but I don't think I can do it to the city. Let's go to the next one. Either you get Broncos season tickets for 5 years, and I'll even add in there on the 50, or you make one hole-in-one per year for the next 5 years.
There's a no full stop one hole-in-one for me ever for the next 5 years. If I just make one in the next 5 years, I'm going to ride that until I'm dead. Mm-hmm. So I will take that. Broncos season tickets would be great, especially on the 50-yard line. My season tickets are...
I was going to say, you already have season tickets.
Yeah, they're not great. I'm there, though. That's what I just like, being there and remembering until the third quarter, the last couple of years, you know, kind of scenario. But, one hole-in-one for the next 5 years would be... I'd be ecstatic. I'd mm-hmm. be on cloud nine.
It's a really tough one. Because, like my dad, he's, like, a 2-handicap. He's old, and he's never had a hole-in-one before.
And he plays the same course, like, every day.
Yeah, you'd think you'd figure it out. But, like, yeah, it's... He actually just had his first, like, a couple months ago. I forgot about that.
Right.
Yeah, that's right. But knowing that could be on the way is terrifying, but at the same time, like...
Was his first at Meadow Lake?
Yeah. Yeah, but, like, I don't know. It's... It's more about, like, the round, right? Like, I not that a hole-in-one wouldn't be fulfilling, but I wonder if just, like, having five of them, the fifth one, does that feel as good as number three?
Definitely not, but then you have this reputation amongst your buddies that, like, you're the hole-in-one guy.
The thing is, I'm also, shooting in the 90s, and it's like guess what? You got to 87 because you had a hole-in-one. It's like, it's not like my reputation is as a good golfer.
I mean, if I put a one on the card, I'm shooting in the 70s for sure.
Yeah, I'm not still.
I'm never going to be good enough to shoot par on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. But there's a better chance of me having like a random hole in one. Like I mean,
everyone's got
I've never had one. I mean, I hold out from 130 yards on the fairway at the University of South Florida golf course back when I was going to school, but I know it because of that shot. I know at some point, randomly, I might have that in me.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I mean, Allie almost got one in her second round ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so doing one of those every year for the next 5 years, especially considering I only play, say, 10, 12 rounds a year, that that would give you a reputation.
Right.
I would, and I would own it if I had one hole in one. If I was averaging one hole in one literally every 10 or 12 rounds for the next 5 years, again, I would lean into that. That would be my thing. You play around with me, you might see an ace. There's about a 1 in 12 chance you will.
If everyone starts calling you ace,
ooh, they would
ace,
too.
Ace mace.
Ace mace.
See?
Yeah, you can't turn that. Plus, you have to cover the games anyway.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah, exactly. So I don't need season tickets.
Yeah.
I guess we're all on the same page there.
I'm taking the tickets.
Oh, you're taking the tickets.
I'm taking the tickets.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I'm taking the tickets.
Let's go to the next one, Kale. All
right. This is, you got to premise this, or this is Matt's life on the line.
Oh, right. So your life is on the line, and you have to pick one of these people to be your partner in a golf match against two good golfers.
Ooh.
Who are you picking?
Ooh.
Peyton Manning or John Elway?
I'm taking Peyton. I think his clutch golf gene we all saw during the first match last year when, Tiger was hitting it good, but like Peyton hit some really good shots, and like I don't think people realize how tough that is to do, especially when you're literally at that point in time during the middle of quarantine, the only thing that's everybody's watching. I think that, if I remember correctly, that first match blew every rating of every Masters out of the water, all that kind of stuff, because of how watched it was. And these guys, whether you can go grind, like Peyton Manning, I heard from a guy at Cherry Hills that he was hitting golf balls in the rain for 2 weeks straight at Cherry by himself, only guy on the range at Cherry Hills before that match, like getting ready for that.
Just getting dialed.
And like, football is what he does, but that's one of the greatest things about golf is pretty much anybody can play it. You just have to try. But even the greatest athletes in the world, the smartest people in the world, this or that, that they can look so weird and so uncomfortable. So and the nervousness, like we see it from in most sports. Like if you watch, if you go to pre-games of sports, you watch Jamal Murray shoot threes. He never misses. Marcus Howard never misses. Second they get in a game, if you didn't watch that pre-game, you'd be like, oh, he's just not that great of a shooter. We know from paying attention, but that's how golf is too. You go out on the range, even a pro from the Corn Ferry Tour that I went to last week, they don't miss a shot on the range, not a single one. And then they get out on a golf course and they're missing shots. So these guys that aren't even pros and just play golf, they grind and they want to be good because they're competitive humans. It's an insane amount of nerves. So I'd take Peyton just because I feel like John would be more lackadaisical about it. I think Peyton would clutch up.
So I'm going John. Because I just think he has a lot more rounds under his belt. Like Peyton only got into this like retirement life, golf life a few years ago, whereas John's been doing this for a while. And again, I do not think his GM job precluded his golf life at all. And he's actually like, I think he's better than Peyton at golf.
Yeah, I think John's actually really good at
right,
golf
like,
too.
Like I think he like shoots under par regularly. So I'm taking John, but I have to say, I'm like super worried about like if I start screwing up, like if I start playing bad, I feel like John's like rolling his eyes behind me.
Henry's over here. I just like peeked at his phone. He's looking up John Elway's handicap on the gym.
Well, I mean, we know Elway.
Does it work?
Elway's gotten to the qualifying final round of the Senior Open.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Peyton hasn't yet done that. So I would say, because based on that alone, I would go with Elway. But in 5 years, when Peyton is eligible for the Senior Open, who's to say that he's not getting that far in qualifying?
Don't you think that Peyton, though, is like would be a little more uplifting for you as you were playing? Like I feel
no,
like
I was thinking the opposite.
I was thinking
the opposite.
Well, perhaps, but I mean, we're talking about life on the line here. If we were just talking about a regular round of golf, I would rather play with Peyton because if worse came to worse, we could exchange quotes from the National Lampoon movies for 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like Peyton is the one that's like, has my back a little more. Like, he's like saying, like, you got this. Like, just step up there and hit one, you know? Like,
that doesn't
cut
feel like
that meat.
To me, like,
cut that meat.
I feel like you're up there and he's saying, like, oh, pull the putt. Like, you even want to live? Like, come on. Like, that's more Peyton's
he's
vibe
like making
to me.
Jokes?
Exactly. It's like, dude, I'm about to die here. You got to stop with all this. And that's what I don't need when I'm golfing. Also, John Elway, 1.1 handicap, Peyton, 4.4.
Yeah.
I'm, yeah.
John is nasty on the golf course.
Yeah, I'm taking Elway.
And you know, he got that hand thing figured out too.
Oh, yeah. Did he? Yeah. That's good news.
Turned out, I was wrong.
Plus, if I die, I can use that.
Yeah, isn't that a gift somewhere?
Yes.
Turns out, I was wrong.
Yes. If I die, use that. Yeah. There's the big joke. That's like the biggest joke on Twitter for a day.
That's when he gets Elway. Executed on the 18th
yeah.
green.
Exactly. Turns out, I was wrong.
You know, if Zach were sitting here, he'd be arguing for Trevor Siemian at some point in this conversation.
Plummer is also a good golfer, yeah. I've heard. If you're quarterback, you're basically a good golfer.
I was going to say, if you're a punter or kicker, you're a good golfer.
Well, too. That too, for
most
sure.
Most of them
Elam?
Can nail it. Jason Elam was a very good golfer.
Yeah. There's something, there's like a little connection.
Well, there. The other thing is also, during practices, and this is more so true 15, 20 years ago than now, when the specialists would kind of be on their own, they kind of screw around sometimes. I mean, they would start playing kind of, you know, close. They'd start trying to hit golf balls into garbage bins and so forth during practice. You'd have, you know, Elam and whoever the punter was. And for a long time, the long snapper was Mike Leach. And I didn't know he was a pretty good golfer as well. And they would just do games like that from time to time. They go play Golden Tee when they didn't want to do that.
Golden Tee down here in the bar, big hit. Some people come here just to play Golden Tee for like 4 hours. If I was an NFL coach or just like even a college coach, I would have the specialists come in like 6 a.m. every day, get your work in, and then go away. Like, mm-hmm. Can you imagine you're out there in like 90-degree heat at a training camp practice, you know, smashing heads, and you see Jason Elam over there hitting golf balls? I would lose my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
So get him out of the way, because all they do is just like,
well, nowadays it's a little more regimented. You get kind of everyone has two special teams coaches now, and they're working with them in the periods when it's team and individual.
But they're
and
not then, really.
And they also, it's also interesting how they place the special teams periods within practice. They're spaced to a point where the specialists can't get too lost in their own thing. Because okay, it's gonna be time to come back over and kick. Time to come back over and
play. I watch those guys just play catch for hours on end.
Yeah, it's funny to see them over on the north side of the training facility. They just doing just their
throwing the ball around.
Yeah. You know, back in the two-a-day camp days, every other day, the second of the two-a-days was special teams only. And imagine, like, you could come out to watch practice and then special teams, and so, like, the fans would feel kind of ripped off if they didn't realize it. So we got to a point where they'd say, yeah, specifically this second practice is special teams. And then
don't come.
Yeah. Well, you'd still have people coming, but it'd be like about 36 or so.
They're just coming for like autographs afterwards.
Or they're literally coming because you see people that are dressed for work. Like, I don't want to be at work. I'm just going to come hang out here. Mm-hmm. Like I used to say they were hiding from their bosses.
Yeah.
Like coming out the Broncos special teams practice.
All right, I think we got one more. Is that right, Kale?
Yep.
All right. Last one here. Another one. You got a match with your life on the line. You got to pick one of these two guys to be your partner.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to pick Reisner because I've seen that he does that, like, I don't know what they call it. I'm just going to call it like the farm open or something up at his farm.
Yeah.
They like mow down some of the cornfields and like make a little golf course out of it. So I know that he at least has experience swinging a golf club. I don't know that I've ever seen Garrett Bowles swing a golf club. Although
swings
he was a great
lacrosse
player. Yeah. Maybe that translates a little bit.
I don't think so.
I think as like a lacrosse player, like turning, like you're getting those core muscles from like turning.
Yeah. There's a lot more to golf than turning.
No, but I mean,
it's
not like a basketball player who's like never done any of those motions, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm taking Reisner as well.
I'm taking Reisner.
Garrett Bowles just doesn't seem like big golf guy.
No, he doesn't.
Reisner seems like he could get up, you know, wear a sick rope hat, maybe backwards, get some cargo, you know, some nice shorts on, an untucked polo, and go out there and have a good time.
Yep.
I'm going Reisner.
Put it this way, when you look up Dalton Reisner in golf, you at least get stuff about his farm tournament. There's a picture of him getting out of a golf cart. You Google Garrett Bowles in golf, bupkis.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of being out on the golf course, speaking of the weekend, speaking of good vibes, make sure you add some Breckenridge Brewery seltzers or beers to your weekend slate this week. Last night, so Everyone knows about the RK Special, Strawberry Sky, Hot Peak IPA. I'm trying to create a RK Special 2.0 right now with the seltzers, and I'm trying to figure out which two mix the best together. I've only started just last night. I mixed the blueberry lemonade and the raspberry lemonade. Off to a good start. Spence, you had a sip?
It was good. I did enjoy it.
Off to a good start, but haven't declared a winner yet, so we'll see how that goes. But no matter what you're doing this weekend, work in some good company lemonade, some good company regular hard seltzers, or any of their fantastic, delicious beers.
Yeah, so what are the flavors we get? We have the lemonades, of course. We also have, like, apple, pear, black cherry, peach, mountain berry, and honeydew. Mm.
I think the lemonades...
I think peach and mountain berry might have some potential, though.
Peach, berry, peach. Okay.
I've done some...
apple pear's already a mix, so if you mix another one, now you've got three.
It's a little much, but I'm thinking of, like, the berries and the peaches, because I've done smoothies with peach and berry that have been really good.
You should call it the smoothie.
So maybe that translates to seltzer as well.
Fair enough.
All right. That's the one I would try. You try your own with the good company hard seltzers. Also, if you're not a member of DNVR, why don't you try it out and join us for the most in-depth coverage of your professional Denver teams, as well, of course, as the CU Buffs. I guess with NIL, they're kind of prone right now, right?
I mean, it's a weird place.
Also golf.
The NCAA says they're amateurs, can also not define amateurs, so... Where does that leave us?
You saw what Mark Emmert said yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just basically...
They know what's on the way.
They know what's coming.
Yep.
Anyway, you should be a DNVR member. We mentioned golf, for example. If you join the DNVR Golf League, you can sign up week after week if you missed that initial sign-up. So follow DNVR Golf, get all those updates. You can log on our Discord, chat about Denver sports without the crap you deal with on social media. If you come on down to the DNVR bar and you're a member, you're going to get extra raffle tickets at watch parties to win free gear. And, of course, you're going to get that free DNVR Locker shirt with your annual membership. You're going to get discounts, including at the DNVR Locker. You might find that becoming a member pays for itself in t-shirts alone, the free shirt plus the discounts you get on others. And of course, here at the DNVR bar, you get the big beer for a price of a small beer. Will they do a big RK special for the price of a small one?
They even have a button on the cash register because it gets ordered so much. So yeah, they will do you a 22-ounce.
And the button,
11 ounces of Strawberry Sky, 11 ounces of Hot Peak.
Is the little RK on the button wearing away because people have been touching the button so much?
I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that Darren, our bartender, like at least once a week, he's like, dude, it is unbelievable how many of these stupid RK specials I have to make back here.
I got into bartending to mix alcohol, not mix beers.
Yeah.
And now he's mixing beers.
So all that, and of course, the chance to jump on with us on a podcast. You can comment on the podcast. You can jump on the Three Ring Circus or live shows from time to time. So all of those benefits and more are yours if you become a DNVR member today.
Also, we're talking about golfing, being out on the golf course, all that good stuff. I do not enter the golf course ever anymore without some Manscaped crop preserver.
I knew where that was going because I'm right there with you.
It's literally as important as your driver, your putter, it's golf crazy. Balls. Like, it is absolutely essential to a round of golf. You got to have Manscaped crop preserver. You got to have it. And you might as well get the lawnmower out there. You know, you're going to be on mowed lawns. You might as well come with a mowed lawn. All of that good stuff at Manscaped. And you can get 20% off plus free shipping when you use the code DNVR. So get in on it. I mean, obviously the lawnmower 4.0 is their main product, but all of the other stuff is really what I think brings Manscaped above all the rest. So use that code DNVR to get 20% off plus free shipping. All right, let's move into the next segment here, and let's actually go to the draft.
Okay.
We are going to do a draft of the best comedy movies of all time. All movies on the table. I don't think there's going to need to be any debate over like whether something's a comedy or not. If we're debating that, it's probably not a good pick. So let's jump right in. And Spence, you are the guest. We're going to give you the number one overall pick, unless you decline the number one overall pick.
So does it, if I decline
it's
it?
It's a snake draft.
I'll be honest, guys. I can't move the heads anymore.
All right. You're taking the number one overall.
That's fine.
You're going first.
With the first overall pick, this is... this may be lost on some people, maybe older generation and a lot younger generation, but I'm hoping Twitter comes through, and a lot of the kids, adults, semi-adults, what I call myself, have seen it. The funniest movie of all time is Superbad.
Oh, it such a great
by
pick.
Far the funniest such movie of all time. Pick. I can't watch it anymore, actually, because I can quote word for word the entire thing. So I can't even watch it anymore. It's the only movie that I've watched more than twice, and it's one of three movies I've watched more than once, I think.
Wait, really?
Wow.
I was talking about this with somebody the other day. Who was it? I think it was somebody in one of my golf foursomes. I do not waste my time watching something I've already seen. That's like 2 hours of literally wasted.
So I always think about it the opposite way. Like, I'm scared to watch a movie I haven't seen because I'm like, what if this is bad? And I
you
waste
order
time.
The same thing
I know
at, like,
I like
restaurants
this.
You like every single
every
time.
Every single time. Yeah. Every single time. Like, I'm not going to mess around. And
you're like, I'm
do
not ordering
I don't
a quesadilla like
for
2 hours. Chipotle. The burrito's
this,
amazing.
Yeah, I watched this movie called Gaia a couple weeks ago. It's terrible. It's terrible.
You can't go broke taking a profit, right? And if you're watching a movie that you know you enjoy, you know you're going to have a good 2 hours.
Yeah.
The other thing that happens is I like to have stuff on in the background as I work, but I want it to be either a game because, like any sport, you can kind of look up, get a gist of what's going on, and then kind of go back to what you're doing. Or a familiar movie or TV show because I don't want to have to think about it. Like if I start watching a new show, I want to know what's going on. I have to invest an hour or 2 hours in watching that. Whereas, like, reason I've seen so much Seinfeld is, you know, sometimes back in the day I'd pop a DVD of Seinfeld in while I was working, and it was just was on the background, or I'd fall asleep to it because I like to fall asleep to a show or a movie.
Yeah, that's what I fall asleep to, like, shows I've already seen because I don't want, like, some plot point to, like, prop me up in bed, you
so
know?
With headphones on?
No, just on the TV.
Oh, okay. Like, I actually put headphones on when I fall asleep and just listen to something familiar.
Interesting. You sleep with headphones in?
Usually they come out at some point when I'm sleeping. It's a lot easier now with Bluetooth, but I don't want to disturb anybody else, so I just put headphones on and listen to, you know, sometimes it's an old movie, sometimes it's an old game. Like I listened a few nights ago to a Broncos Browns game from 1983 as I fell asleep.
So on brand. Awesome. So on brand.
I did. Yeah, the reason was Marv Albert. He just retired. He was in the news. Marv called that game, and it was just kind of a nice background noise as I fell asleep. Elway had that was one of his first big games. Was that day, by the way?
Like rewatching movies if I'm showing it to someone. So, like, Allie hasn't seen, like, a lot of my favorite movies. So I'm like, oh, you got to see this. You got to see Happy Gilmore or whatever it is. Like, you got to see Almost Famous. So, like, I like doing that. I wouldn't just, like, put on a movie that I've seen before if I'm just watching it by myself.
That's fair. Yeah, I rewatch a lot of sporting events. Like, I rewatched the 2015 AFC Championship last night. It was on NFL Network. I was like, oh, absolutely, I'm rewatching this.
I like to rewatch sporting events that I was at.
Yes.
So if I was there, I'm like, oh, I wonder what the TV broadcast was.
I record every game that I go to.
Yeah.
Nuggets and Avs especially.
Ooh. All right. For me, it's the Buffs that I record and then watch again. All right.
You know, there's a strategy here because, like, as I saw last week, there wasn't a lot of love for really old school stuff. So maybe I go with a pick here that's a little more, that's from the last, say, 20 years or so. And I was glad I was at home when I watched it because I literally did piss myself at a couple of points in this movie. The first Borat movie.
Wow.
That's on my list.
That is crazy. I did not expect that.
Multiple times, though?
Yes.
You could have given me 100 guesses.
I had to pause it after the... the naked wrestling and then the running through the conference.
Don't think about it too much or we're gonna have to take a break.
If you see, I'm not gonna describe it. I'm just gonna say, if you see it, you know what I'm talking about.
It makes me so happy that Mace was laughing at me.
I actually just watched Borat 2 with my mom when I was back in Montana. She loved it.
No,
I was
why
not
would you
sure
watch
which
that
way
with
to
your
go.
Mom.
Oh. You'd be surprised. Like my 70-some-year-old dad loved the Borat movies.
Sometimes those are like 50-50.
But he also
like
loves, like,
his
get. Favorite musical, I think, right, is Book of Mormon. So he's kind of got
Yeah.
He's got a very
edgy sense
edgy
of humor.
Sensibility, more edgier than you would expect for someone his age.
All right, Hank.
Yeah.
All right.
He came with a list.
Oh yeah, I can't remember things, and so I need to write them down. This is a tough one because again, it's like how you play the board. What is everybody else going to take?
I should have brought this earlier. There's a great super bad story involving the Broncos, real quick.
Really?
Coming back from a game in San Diego, they'd lost on Christmas Eve in 07. Superbad was the in-flight movie. And you had an airplane of players and staff that were all trying to stifle laughter because, God forbid, Mike Shanahan would have heard people laughing after they lost by 3 scores in San Diego. But you look around, and there are all these contorted faces on the plane of people trying not to laugh at Superbad.
That's incredible.
That is.
Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Just had to bring
remember
that.
Remember when I don't know who it was. I kind of assume it was Kisla. Wrote a column about how they were laughing in the locker room after they got... I think it was when they got shut out in San Diego. Yeah. Might have been that. And then the next day we got in there and the players were like, yo, who snitched?
Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. Guys are human.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yep.
Anyway.
Funny things are funny.
Yeah.
Third pick, I'm going Caddyshack.
Oh, my God. You just take it right out from under me.
Oh, good. I was hoping that's the reaction I want.
Oh, man.
That's at least you didn't pick Caddyshack, too.
I would never.
Who here has seen Caddyshack 2?
I actually don't think I have.
Don't.
I haven't either.
This will just sum it up. They were trying to get the movie casted, and of course we know Rodney Dangerfield was not in Caddyshack 2. But here's a story behind it. Like someone gives him the script because they're trying to get him in there, and he thumbs through it, and he says, "What's up with the Ferris wheel?" And he tosses it in the garbage can.
Okay.
And then they had to cast Jackie Mason instead, and that was terrible.
Gosh, dang it. I really didn't think there was any chance that you were taking Caddyshack.
That makes me really happy. Because that probably wouldn't even be like the favorite of the movies I'm going to take. But I just know if you want that one, and I do want that one,
you're
going to
get
early.
Some old school people that side with you because you just made a early 80s movie your pick.
I know, and I was thinking of doing that too. I was like, I'm going to try and get the older crowd here first. I'm going to work my way back, but I don't know how this is going to play. I don't even know. Like, I don't know if you guys are going to like it. I don't know if fans are going to like it. But I think it's actually, like, my favorite comedy movie from that era in which Superbad also exists, and it's Step Brothers.
I thought that was going to somehow slip to me in the second round, but because that is those two movies together, like, that was, like,
I think it was the same summer, maybe.
Yeah, it was one or the other that I was watching all of those.
Wow. That was not on my list, but it definitely shouldn't have, or should have been.
It has that same thing with Superbad, where it's like very quotable.
Yeah,
like it's always funny.
Yeah.
You could still like drop a reference to that. There's like probably 20 different things that you could say from that.
Yeah, so much room for activities like that. I still say that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like exactly. It's something that just sums up in daily conversation.
Every time I see an Enterprise Rent-A-Car, I think of that line when he's like, just going to do the sensible thing, get a job at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. They have a great corporate structure, and they give you the tools to be your own boss.
You wrecked my boat, you goons.
That was a good movie.
All right. Now I think I'm going to go back to an old... I think I will. I might lose my next pick, but this is like one that holds up. From 1993, still very solid. I'm going Dazed and Confused. McConaughey at his best, I would say.
I haven't seen it.
I get older, the girls stay the same age.
That's what I love about high school.
I think this is Adam's favorite movie of all time.
Oh, that's not good news for me.
That is not good
news. Oh, good choice.
Honestly, though, like Adam's one of those people where if he thinks something you did was like cool, then it kind of makes you feel a little better because he thinks weird things are cool.
Yeah,
you're like, oh yeah, I'm different.
Yeah, I'm quirky. This is another tough one, and this could be a pick I look back on and say, no reason to take that there. I'm going Airplane.
Oh damn it!
Yes, that is exactly what I wanted. That is exactly what I wanted. I knew it was gonna be Mace.
Ah,
yes.
Did you make your whole list based off of what you thought? Like,
like
sophisticated people would pick.
No, they're funny movies. I really like those two movies.
Which one is
you couldn't make it today? Like, there are so many jokes in there that would not pass muster in 2021.
Like the one you just made from Dazed and Confused?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yes. Pretty much.
It is so
yes.
Good.
Which one is, what is Airplane?
It's the one where they're on an airplane.
I think I know which one it
is. Yeah, it's like Leslie Nielsen, and I think like the best Leslie Nielsen. It's like it's all just like the dumb jokes about like wordplay and like Roger, like what's your
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has a cameo,
like, and the kid,
like
I think I know which one we're talking about here.
The kid says,
I think
like,
you're the greatest, but my dad says you don't hustle back down the court on defense and that you don't even try until the playoffs. The hell I don't!
But the whole time before that, he's pretending he's not actually Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Mm. Yeah.
The blow-up pilot that...
Oh, the inflatable... yes. Get the autopilot. It's like an inflatable...
It's just really good jokes.
Yeah. It's, I mean, just... It's, you know... Is that the one where, like the, you could get in the smoking section back in the day? Okay, your ticket. Smoking or non-smoking? Smoking. And the ticket is, the ticket is literally smoking.
Oh, I want to rehash every single movie. All right. What do you got here for us, Mace?
Gosh. Oh, man. Ugh. Man, I have to rethink my my draft strategy now. But that's okay.
Also, there's an exclamation point, Kale. After Airplane. I don't want Twitter to get mad at him.
It's
okay. I will fix it after Mason.
Okay. The same kind of generation. This was a couple of years earlier than Airplane. Infinitely quotable. And also, you couldn't make it today. Animal House.
Yep.
That's a good one.
That was...
yeah.
The list that I was looking at had that at number one.
Hmm.
But, yeah, definitely...
But we're not talking, I mean, that doesn't mean it's not a classic.
No, absolutely. As D-Line would say, separate the art from the artist,
right.
Which kind of applies here. All right, Spence, you got back-to-back picks here.
Back-to-back picks. All right, I'm going to start, like, I'm just doing them on, I might start pandering a little down
Pander
later,
away, that's the name of this game.
For this, I'm going to go with one of my favorites, Wedding Crashers.
Ooh.
That I'm sticking in the same generation. I'm just hoping that the between 19 to 20 to 35 year olds really hammer this vote.
I like legitimately think though that the early 2000s is that when all these were coming out is like the golden era of comedy movies. Like all of they were just like there was like three a summer.
Adam tried last
it's
week, it did not go well.
did they do? They did comedy movies.
Yep.
Oh my God!
Oh man! Wow.
I don't want to just keep stealing their ideas.
I didn't see that. I'm sorry. Yeah, sorry.
This was Mason's idea.
Well, I got the idea based off like TV shows last week, but people said why didn't you separate comedies from dramas? And I said okay, fine. And that's why I'm like okay, let's just choose movie comedies. And damn it,
I really thought
I feel
we were.
Bad.
I thought we were.
It wasn't comedy movies. It was comedic actors.
Okay, so we're good. All right, we're good.
How dare you accuse us of stealing?
But there were like two golden ages of comedies, though. Like, one golden age was from about like 78 to 88 or so.
Mm-hmm.
And the other golden age was basically the early to mid 2000s.
Yeah.
So they're basically about every 20 years, which every 20 years a new golden age starts. So,
got to be coming up on one.
We should be starting one. Usually, crisis creates great art.
I haven't seen it.
The pandemic, hopefully, will have some great art coming out in sweet.
What's the last good new comedy you saw?
Oh.
Right?
Oh, like one that,
Game
like.
Night came out like 2 years ago, and that movie's amazing.
I just watched Get Hard. That's a good movie.
What is that one again?
That's Will Ferrell gets wrongly accused of
is that
fraud.
Kevin Hart?
And then Kevin Hart teaches him how to be good in prison because Will Ferrell assumes he's been to prison when he hasn't.
See, I've lost it the last few years because I have a little
it's
kid.
A good
and
movie.
So the movie watch, I could tell you all about like Frozen and Disney movies and all that. But my movie watching time has been so scrunched because it's been chewed up by stuff like that. I've got some catch-up work to do coming up here in the next few years.
All right, Spence.
40-year-old virgin.
Oh, okay. So he's staying in the hot zone.
Yeah,
there.
This is my zone. This is what I know. I honestly, like, this may sound crazy to you guys. Never seen Airplane, never seen Animal House, never seen Dazed and Confused.
You gotta watch all those movies.
Yeah.
I'm down to rewatch all of those movies. I actually haven't seen Dazed and Confused either.
You should see it. All it's right. a quick watch, too. I think it's only like 90 minutes.
Huh. Yeah. I appreciate that. That's the way movies should be.
Yep.
This is Spinal Tap.
Wow. Yeah,
that's a good one. I feel like I'm just competing with Mace.
Yeah. Such a thin line between stupid and clever, right?
I love This is Spinal Tap. I had like a long hair phase, and I was really into that movie during that time.
It's my current phase, actually. Yes.
And also just kind of infinitely quotable as well.
Goes to 11.
Yeah.
It's so good. You can use it in any situation.
All right. What do you got?
I should have been prepared. And see, this is where I have to decide. Like, we're going National Lampoon's Vacation.
Ooh.
That's just a good choice. The original?
Yeah.
I don't know if I've seen that one.
It's really, really good.
I like Vegas Vacation a lot.
And
Christmas Vacation.
Vegas Vacation is the least of the vacations.
Really? I don't know why. I just really like Vegas. So
it's also the most recent. I don't count the direct-to-video Cousin Eddie Vacation movie. We're not, that doesn't go there. It's only the four. Although Vegas Vacation didn't have the National Lampoon branding on it, interestingly enough.
I don't know why. I didn't know that. I just hit right at the age I was when I watched it.
But it was, it's got its moments, but the original is still, and I'd love to quote it, but we're pressed for time A and B. All the quotes involve some kind of profanity.
All right, I'm going back to back here. Give me Best in Show.
That's a really good one.
Spence hasn't seen it. I can just tell by his reaction.
Guaranteed.
And I know he's seen this one, so I'm trying to play to both crowds here. Anchorman.
That was the other one I was trying to decide.
That's another.
And in hindsight, why would I should have taken Anchorman. Mace is the one I was terrified with Vacation. It
wraps around back to you before me. Yeah.
This is me being a bad drafter. If I had Anchorman, so now I gotta rethink some things. Wow. I'm gonna...
You've got like 25 on your list over there. I saw it.
Yeah. There's just like a select few. Because now I need newer things to appeal to people,
younger crowd,
my age.
Spence and I already got them all.
Except for Anchorman, but I guess now you do have
plenty,
that.
Dude. I could round off like 10 more. You need some help?
I'm going to go with The Hangover.
Damn it! Damn it!
I was actually just thinking about that and surprised at me.
I know. I was hoping you'd go older school than that.
Damn, The Hangover's really good.
So this is two rounds that you've taken. Every time you've picked before me, Hank, you've taken my pick.
That makes me so happy.
So... All right, now again, I got to rethink my strategy here a little bit.
It's tough. This is a competitive draft.
I usually can know by this time in the draft who's going to win, and I really don't.
Okay, I'm just going to go with the next on my board that I was going to pick if you took The Hangover, Dumb and Dumber.
I almost took it right there.
Thought the Rocky Mountains would be a lot rockier than this. I was thinking the same thing. That John Denver's full up. Man. And also, I mean, just extra points for all the Colorado references.
That'll play well here.
Yes.
All right, back to back, I'm going to go American Pie.
Nice.
That is one of my all-time favorites.
It's funny seeing this and like knowing your sense of humor and just how well these things line up.
Oh yeah, exactly. And my last one, I think I wouldn't be the DNVR golf guy if I didn't go with Happy Gilmore.
Nice.
Since it's still on the board. Yeah. Caddyshack was going to be my round two pick. She's gone, so Happy Gilmore it is.
Happy Gilmore is. A lot of those Adam Sandler movies aren't still funny.
Right.
That one definitely is.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Which is better? Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
Oh,
I think it's Happy Gilmore.
I do too, but
I mean,
Billy Madison's the other.
The golf aspect of Happy Gilmore, I think, puts it over, but I think Billy Madison made me laugh harder on the first watch.
I think Happy holds up a little better. And I think that the absurdist humor in it that gets dropped into Happy Gilmore. Mm-hmm. You know, like the little person riding the horse in Happy's dream. When at the end of the film he looks up and sees Chubbs and the alligator, and then what is Abraham Lincoln doing there waving? Hey, happy.
That's a good movie.
Okay.
I've heard you reference that part of Happy Gilmore multiple times. That's definitely your favorite part of the movie.
I just like how there are things there in there. They're like, what? This makes no sense. But that's just, you know, or like the guy on the Zamboni, okay? The Zamboni driver in the dark mouthing the lyrics to Endless Love and then looking down sadly. There is some deep heartbreak in that guy's life. You could do a movie on the Zamboni driver.
You could.
In Happy Gilmore. Why does he feel that way when Endless Love plays and he's just he's mouthing it, but it's just belting it out. And I'll give my love to you. My love. My love. My love. My endless love.
Oh my God. That was amazing. And your pick.
Oh, yeah. I have to make a pick here, right? Naked Gun. Or that's the Naked a good Gun. One. Yeah.
What year is that?
1988.
I was going to say, that's outside of my range.
Yes. If I didn't get Airplane, I was going to get that.
Interesting.
Yep.
Who knew Henry had a deeply diverse movie taste?
Only...
Jason Henry having the same movie taste for this
was the surprise.
Upset of the year.
Yeah. Upset of the year.
I don't know movies that aren't funny.
I mean...
Yeah. I just know the funny ones.
This has to be like your dad.
Yeah. Movies. Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah. Where else do you see movies that old?
I don't know.
So there's two different ways I could go. You know, here's okay. I have to get a Will Ferrell movie.
Mm.
Like you just can't go through this. And Anchorman was gonna knock out like an era and Will Ferrell, but which one? We're going Elf.
Oh, ooh. You lost me.
You think so? Yeah. Elf is a good one. Elf is a classic. There's a lot in there that's really funny.
A lot of people.
There's
agree
a lot
with you.
In there that's really one. Good. I was thinking like
Talladega Nights. It's my least favorite Will Ferrell, like by
really?
A long shot.
Zooey Deschanel.
It doesn't do it for me.
Really?
It I don't think I like Christmas though. Movies. Am I a Grinch? I don't like Christmas music or movies.
The only Christmas movie I like, well, National Lampoon's, but Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
And then The Grinch, and that's it. I'm not a big like. Mm-hmm. You know,
for some reason, I like Jingle All the Way with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh my!
Never even heard of that one.
Yeah,
it's not going to be my pick here.
Elf appeals across the generations.
It does.
Though.
It does. Yep.
And like, although I found it interesting, like my daughter loves Elf, and she's 9 years old now, and we actually like she had some friends over, and they watched Elf, and then found out like that her friends weren't allowed to watch Elf at home, but their parents had banned it. And I'm like, what?
Elf?
Yeah.
Too edgy.
Again, like, well, there are some layers that I peel back that are interesting when I find out what those parents have prevented those kids from seeing. And I'm just like, yeah, we pretty much watch just about anything at our house, you know.
I think
we don't have, I mean, I'm not saying we don't have rules, but I mean, I've introduced Charlotte to a lot of stuff that maybe she shouldn't have been introduced to at the age of 9, but that's okay.
I mean, like, I had an older sister, so I was learning all that stuff,
like,
too.
Like, one movie that would have been my next round pick would have been Ghostbusters, the original, and that's one of my daughter's favorite movies.
Well, last pick here, and you named it, in the same way that you felt like you need a Will Ferrell, I need an Adam Sandler, and I'm going Billy Madison.
Oh, Doyle rules.
Wow.
Spence, have you seen Billy Madison?
I have, but I don't remember it that well.
Okay.
So I know I have.
Didn't resonate.
It is there.
This is good. I don't know who's going
to
win.
We need to watch a bunch of movies. That's what I learned.
Everyone, if I had to watch all of these
30 vote.
In a row and I wasn't going to pick mine, I would probably pick Spence's.
There's not a movie on this list I don't like.
That's the thing. Elf's the only one that doesn't do it for me.
Wow.
But I really? Fully understand that I'm in the deep minority there. Like,
yeah,
every time
yeah.
I say that, everyone gives
is
me
that
a weird
true?
Look.
I don't talk about Elf often. So
yeah, every
I talk about Elf one month
up.
A year though. Like the thing is, you don't talk about the rest of the year. But if you have a Christmas song, like Mariah Carey, for all that she's done, one month a year she has the most popular song. Period. Is that
song actually slaps?
Yeah, but the thing is. Is that better than just having a bunch of great songs? And now, I mean, she has other big hits, obviously. But the first line on her obituary someday is going to be, "All I want for Christmas is you."
Yep. And that's what she's probably made most of her money on.
Right.
I mean, that's definitely the way to do it. Because for a month every year, she has the number one song on the charts.
Yes, every year. Now that
and no one else can replicate that.
It's actually hilarious. Like, you look at the Hot 100 in December, and it's all these songs. Like, you have Brenda Lee in the top 10. You've got all, because now they base it like off of airplay and streams and all that. And so Christmas songs from 50, 60 years ago even take over the charts for a month. It's wild.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. All right. Let's look at the board one last time here.
Got a commenter saying old school.
Old school definitely was.
I haven't seen it.
That could have been your Will Ferrell pick. Yeah, I think it's better than Elf for sure.
I believe that about
also
you.
Also gave us the line, Colorado, the Sunshine State.
Yes, of course. Oh my God, I can't find the reads. Mace, take us to the next read.
All right, hang on. I think I got the file here. Going to tell you about Solace Meds, a new partner with 4 locations. Solace Meds is a dispensary with locations in Fort Collins, Wheat Ridge, one off Broadway in Denver, and one just blocks away on from the DMVR bar on East Colfax. And they've got some sales going on. Wild Night and Day gummies, 50% off. All Wana, 25% off. All open cured rosin cartridges, 20% off. All Green Dot concentrates, 20% off. 111 rosin cones, 20% off. 10-cent pre-roll or 10 milligram edible when you spend $50. And if you go on over to their Wheat Ridge location, I'm going to say it like Stewie Griffin.
I really like when you do that.
Wheat Thins.
Cool Whip.
Cool Whip. You can't have a pie without Cool Whip. Wheaton. Cool Whip. But if you want to hunt over there, Wheat Ridge location, you'll get a free Solace Bar or King Cone when you mention the magical code DNVR20. DNVR20, that code is going to get you 20% off everything at Solace Meds. But at Wheat Ridge, you're going to get a free Solace Bar King Cone with that. So don't forget the code. Don't forget it for a lot of reasons. First of all, it's 20% off. Second of all, then they'll know that your friends at DMVR sent you. And here's what you do. You go to solacemeds.com, solacemeds.com, put your order in, get that code DNVR20 entered in there, and then go to your nearest location to purchase it. And hey, you know what? Come on down the DMVR bar and then go a few blocks on East Colfax, Solace Meds, get your fill of stuff, and then I'd say put it in your car, right? You can't bring it in the DMVR bar, but You do it after you go to the DMVR bar.
No one's
going to
stop you.
So check out solacemeds.com, solacemeds.com, with locations in Fort Collins, on East Colfax, on Broadway, and of course in Wheat Ridge.
Also, make sure you hit up DraftKings Sportsbook this weekend. Like we said, we've got the Open Championship going on. Golf betting might be the most elite form of betting because of how much it elevates like your interest in the tournament. Like, I'm a golf fan, but I probably wouldn't have been waking up at like 7 a.m. just to turn on golf the last couple days unless I had some money on it.
You should try it for soccer as well, because last night I had the U.S. giving 4.5 goals to Martinique, and they got a goal to cover at the end, 6-1. I've never been happier with a blowout.
It's like, you know, basically it's like handicaps in golf, right? It levels the playing field so that the end is interesting regardless. Mm-hmm. So, you want to get in on DraftKings Sportsbook, and you want to get in on their one to win $150 this week on the Suns or Bucks. I've been saying it all week. Suns in Game 5 is my lock of the century. They are winning Game 5, I'm telling you right now. So if you want to put your 1 to win 150 on the Suns, you can do that. And, of course, you can always get a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you use the code DNVR when you sign up. Of course, to get that, you must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Bonus comprised of a first deposit bonus and a first bet match. Each up to $500. The deposit bonus requires a 25X playthrough, and restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. And if you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700.
So if the Suns are winning Game 5, who's winning Game 6, RK Stradamus?
Probably the Bucks.
Okay. Yeah. Going 7 then.
Yep.
All right. I want to tell you also about the Colorado XOs, who finished up their season at 5-5. A great start for this brand new team playing against professionals in rugby that have been playing for years. If you haven't heard of the Colorado XOs, they are Rugby Town, the USA's newest rugby team. The Colorado XOs are athletes who have competed at the highest level of their respective sports. But hey, you could get in on it as well. If you're an elite athlete and want to try out rugby and want to try out for the Colorado Exos, you can contact the director of recruitment, Peter Pasque. His email is PASQUE@glendale.co.us. And if you just want to watch rugby, no problem. At Infinity Park, they've got Rugby Town's the Sevens tournament coming up August 20th through August 22nd. It's a great family outing for fast-paced rugby, adult beverages, and it's very affordable. And also at Infinity Park, they've got movie nights. Sign up at Infinity Park Glendale or in Infinity Park at glendale.com/events to get updates. It kicked off this week with Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. Other movies coming. So
I haven't seen that one.
Check it out. They start at 6 p.m. when they have them. Great way to watch a movie on a big screen, outside, on the field with friends and family. And, of course, don't forget about the DNVR Rugby podcast. Our guy Colton Strickler has everything covered. He's also on Twitter. Follow DNVR Rugby there as well.
For some reason, the Spider-Verse just made me think of the movie Eight-Legged Freaks. Did you ever see that one?
I did. I remember almost none of it. I remember like one image. There's like a
shotgun with like big spiders.
I remember William Shatner, Kingdom of the Spiders, 1977.
Wow.
Sounds terrible.
I can't watch spider movies.
It's.
What about Spider-Man?
Well, that's different. Spider-Man's actually my favorite superhero.
Wow.
Really?
In a landslide, yeah.
He got a little Peter Parker thing going on.
I appreciate that.
Nice. That's nice.
Wait, which Peter Parker?
Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Famous gambler, Tobey Maguire.
No, I would love to be a famous gambler. Yes. Hopefully for things going well.
Yes. Not well. Yeah.
Gambling is the greatest thing someone could do if they're good at it.
True.
It's not gambling if you're good. All right. Let's go into the final segment here, which of course is the Red Zone. We are going to have Spencer be the challenger here, heading into the Red Zone, going up against Henry in the first round. If you get past him, you get to take on me. If you get past me, Mace gets to mop the floor with you.
Deal. I really hope we get to see that.
Deal.
I hope I win.
Just like you would mop the floor with me if we played golf.
Yeah. Well, that would happen. Everybody has their strengths.
Exactly. All right. So the first round is questions from the 2016 season onward. So this is the post-Peyton Manning era. First question. When the Broncos beat the Saints in the Superdome in 2016, this player shone a bright light as he scored his first career regular season touchdown. Who is he?
Can we both say it? Can I say it?
Yeah.
Will Parks.
I was going to say the same thing.
That was a two-point conversion.
That was a two-point conversion. I realized.
2016.
Showing a bright light in the Superdome.
First touchdown.
Oh, I got it.
It's like Jeopardy. I give a hint in the clue.
Uh-huh.
Took me a second.
I'm just dumb.
Dude, I don't know. Sometimes, I don't have an answer.
all right.
Bright light.
I'll go.
You want another hint? Or
Jordan Sunshine Taylor.
Correct.
Okay.
Sunshine. Yes.
I was too into the light mood. That was my...
I kept thinking of Gary Brightwell, but... He just got drafted and not even by the Broncos.
Of course, the pass thrown by Zach's guy, Trevor Siemian.
Yes. Trevor Siemian to Sunshine Taylor. Yep. And they won that game.
They did. But everyone remembers Will Parks and Justin Simmons.
Yes.
Like you mentioned.
Will Parks, did he step out?
No. No.
He wore the right color of shoe. Sure I'll say did. That.
Yeah.
Smart man, Will Parks, but we know that. Second question. Back in the 2018 season, the Broncos scored more than 27 points just once. Who was the opponent?
2018, you said?
2018 season.
The Arizona Cardinals.
Correct.
Nice. 45-10.
Yep.
Didn't Von Miller come out and say we're going to
beat their ass?
Yeah. Real
love that guy.
Yeah. I like him saying that. I like the confidence. But Arizona was crap.
Yeah.
He knew.
Yeah. He knew Mike McCoy was the opposing offensive coordinator.
And Josh Rosen was broken.
Yeah, has Mike McCoy coached again?
No.
Since that down?
Back-to-back midseason firings, you're done.
You're hanging him up.
I can't believe like he hasn't surfaced as like a coordinator at some some college. Like you find out, Mike McCoy is the new offensive coordinator at Iowa State. Or, yeah. Well, Iowa State's pretty good right now. Bad example.
Maybe
Mike McCoy's the new offensive coordinator at East Carolina. I'm surprised we haven't heard something like that.
You can only coast off of Josh McDaniels' Tim Tebow playbook for so long.
That's true.
Has not had another job. That's crazy.
He made a lot of money as a head coach, I guess, and you know, I guess he's comfortable. Third question. In the last five seasons, the Broncos have recorded a sweep of a division opponent just once. Who was the opponent and what was the year?
It was the Los Angeles Chargers in 2019.
Correct.
Woo! Wow.
Nice.
That's it, right?
Yeah. That's it.
That's it. You're done.
Yeah, you're done. You're on to the next round.
You just got swept, son.
I know. I realized,
just
Ryan.
Like the Los Angeles Chargers in 2019.
Oh, yeah, you have the questions now.
I do have the questions, and I'm asking you two, right?
Yes.
Where do we start?
I feel like
here?
We didn't make enough. Good job, Spence. Way to move
yeah,
on.
Yeah, good job, Spencer. Thank way to beat me.
People don't get past the first round
already. I know, exactly.
Yeah, usually they're going up against Zach.
Yeah, Zach's a little better than Henry.
It's true. Let's start here. In the last 10 drafts, not counting this year, one Broncos second-round pick has made the Pro Bowl. Who was it?
Justin
Simmons.
Nope.
He's just one. One in the last 10 years.
One in the last 10 years. Second round pick.
Okay, so 10 years brings us back to 2011.
Yep.
Second round pick.
Fun fact, 2010, Zane Beatles did it.
Oh, I know who it is now. Oh, I can say it?
Oh, well, yeah, you probably got to give me a... No, because he already said a guess.
He did say
haven't.
Simmons. Yeah.
I can only think of one name, and I'm just very convinced he didn't make a Pro Bowl.
We might be on the same guy.
The only one I can think of is Derek Wolfe. It's not.
Nope.
Him. Oh, I know who it is now, I think.
Say it.
It's Cortland Sutton.
It is Cortland Sutton.
Oh, my God.
It is Cortland
Derek
Sutton.
Derek Wolfe is the second guy I was looking at.
I just remember being like, Derek. Like, we had a Derek Wolfe Ring of Fame conversation one time, and we were like, he didn't make a Pro Bowl. So, like, what was the only second? Like, just because we said that, that was the only name that would enter my mind.
Let's keep going with the Pro Bowls. Outside of perennial Pro Bowlers Von Miller and Champ Bailey, who has made the most Pro Bowls for the Broncos
Chris
since
Harris
2000?
Jr. Oh, 2000.
Since 2000.
All right. Well, I guess Spence gets a guess here because I jumped the gun.
So outside of Vaughn
and Champ.
And Champ.
And for the Broncos.
And yeah, and for the Broncos.
So Peyton doesn't get it because...
No.
Yeah.
Was it Ryan Clady?
Nope.
Pro Bowls.
Can you tell us how many it is?
Five.
John Lynch.
Nope.
Oh, it was four and 4 years.
Four and four, yep. I have a guess, but I'll let you guys.
I'm at a loss. I don't know.
Any final guesses?
We established it's not Chris Harris Jr. Right?
It is not Chris Harris Jr.
Five Pro Bowlers in the last 10 years.
No, since 2000.
Oh, in the last 20 years, yep. Five Pro Bowls. DT?
Nope.
Damn.
Is it Al Wilson?
It is Al Wilson.
One of my favorites.
Why isn't
too?
He in the Ring of Fame?
I know, I mean, right?
We kind of know that things went sideways for a long time.
Who cares?
But he's been back to the facility. He's back in the good graces. I know they're, you know, they had Peyton this year. Actually, I know they didn't want Peyton to share, but I think Peyton would have been perfectly fine sharing his Ring of Fame day
with Al Wilson,
his college teammate.
Absolutely.
I think he would have loved that.
I didn't realize they were teammates.
Yeah, they're both at UT.
Yeah.
But Al got the ring because he was a year behind Peyton. Of course, they won it the national title the year after Peyton graduated.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's see, which one of these? Oh, this one will be a good tiebreaker in case Ryan ties it up here. So we'll go with, since 2010, which Broncos running back has the most rushing yards in a single season?
Oh, Philip Lindsay.
Nope.
Peyton. Peyton Hillis.
Nope. No.
Is that before 2010?
He was what, 2011 cover of Madden?
Yeah, he was in Cleveland by
I
then.
Have it.
And he had his best season in Cleveland. Like, his big year was as a Brown.
Willis McGahee.
It is Willis McGahee. Mm-hmm. That means we get to go to the bonus question, and this one's closest
was
to the pin.
Was that the Tebow year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
I should have known.
Closest to the pin. So, Demaryius Thomas holds the all-time record for receiving yards in a season. How many did he have?
For the Broncos?
Oh, for the Broncos. Forgot to throw that in there.
I'm going to say, well, whoever guesses first here is at a disadvantage. So we should both just blurt out our answer at the same time.
I like it. Tell me when you're ready, Spence.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. 3, 2, 1.
1,600.
1,579. It's
Ryan. Yes!
I forgot to write down the answer. I'm pretty sure it was 1,619.
Okay, yeah. I've 1,600.
Definitely over
1,600. Really yep. Stuck out.
He had, wait.
2 weeks ago. That feels not fair.
He had 1,619.
That was
a prominent number.
Me
right
and
now.
Zach on that one. Oh wait, no, was Ryan on that one?
1,619 yeah, project. It's got, you know, history and all.
I'm not familiar. Okay, anyway, all right,
1,619.
Well, you might be glad that you didn't pass me because you have no chance on any of these. But we always just let Mace answer them because it's fun to watch. So Mace, in the 2001 season. Three different Broncos quarterbacks took a snap. Name all three.
All right. You had Brian Greasy. You had Gus Frerotte.
I think I
and
know.
Jarius Jackson.
That is correct.
Yeah, that's incredible.
All right.
And who was the quarterback on IR that year? There was a fourth quarterback in that room.
Is that Berline?
Correct.
Yeah. In 1996... Terrell Davis went crazy with nearly 1,600 yards rushing. Who was second on the team in rushing that year?
Oh, man. I have a guess, and it's probably going to be wrong because I think I'm a year off. Derek LaVille.
No, it was a guy by the name of Von Hebron.
Hebron? Von Hebron from Virginia Tech. Had a touchdown on a kickoff return 2 years later.
By the way, he only beat John Elway by like 6 yards.
I mean, TD was a horse then. Yep. Or a hoss, I should say. I mean,
all right, final one here. A Denver Bronco holds a share of the record for longest pass by a non-quarterback in NFL history. Who is it?
Oh, God.
I have a guess on this one.
I don't think you do.
No, maybe not. Okay.
Arthur Marshall?
That is correct. Oh my 81 God. Yards. And I believe it was the first play of the game, only because he was credited with a game started at quarterback that year.
Wasn't that the game where one of the games where they alternated quarterbacks by play? That was the Tommy Maddox-Sean Moore game against Dallas, I believe.
Yes.
Where Dan Reeves literally shuttled him back and forth every snap.
How long was that pass?
81 yards.
Okay. Because I remember Cortland Sutton threw a pass to Tim Patrick in Minnesota.
It was like
probably
60.
It's like 60.
Yeah.
60.
Yeah, that was a bomb.
That was the only thing coming to
Cortland
mind.
Also had a touchdown pass to, or no, it was a manual to Cortland in
yep,
that yes. Arizona game.
In that, yep.
And that was pretty long, but I want to say like maybe 40, 35.
Yeah, it didn't cover the whole field. Arthur Marshall, Mike.
I can't believe you pulled that. I didn't think you were going to get that one.
I knew the play. I wasn't sure which of the players threw it.
So
and there it was, 1 for 1 for 81 yards, and he threw it to Cedric. Now, I never would have gotten the guy who caught it, Cedric Tillman,
there you go. All right, this was fun, as always. Thank you guys all for tuning in. Thanks to Henry for filling in for Zach. Thanks mm-hmm. to Spencer for being a great guest. Thank you to Mace for knowing everything. And thank you to Green Mountain Dental, one of our great sponsors here at DNVR. If you need any dental work done in the metro area, go on down to Green Mountain Dental Group. Schedule a cleaning x-ray and exam. They'll hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush to keep those teeth pearly and white in between visits. A lot of people in the DNVR family, whether it's employees here or just members of the community, have made the switch over to Green Mountain Dental. No one has anything but great things to say about them. So head on down to Green Mountain Dental, schedule a cleaning x-ray and exam, and get a free Sonicare toothbrush. That is going to wrap it up for what could very possibly be the last episode of season 1 of Three Ring Circus. Thank you all for tuning in. And we'll talk to you next week.
Flying cotton with sticky.